So like Mike was saying, my name is Nico. Sorry about this noise over here. I don't know if it's distracting. We're going to try to turn that down. What I like to do when I talk about Grow, first of all, I like to talk a little bit about myself so you guys know who I am. I haven't been around that long, 5 years, like Mike said, but certainly you guys know Jorge and Ed Rosenthal and, of course, Danny Danko a little bit better than me. Just so you know, I'm not 12 years old, so I just turned 33. I've been growing cannabis for about, almost 15 years now. My philosophy when I grew was always don't grow at home, so that way if I get busted, I could come home. So I always grew in places like Mexico, Canada, even Australia for a while. And I was young. I did stupid things. And what I realized the most when I think back to all those experiences was that it was a great experience, but I was just doing things to get by. Maybe I was growing for yield. Maybe I was just growing because I, you know, trying out new stuff and I wasn't really focused on quality. And when I came to High Times, a whole new world opened up to me, and that's in large part credit to you guys with Prop 215 and making the world realize, you know, that this is a medicinal plant. So what I started to do was I started to think about it from a scientific point of view. So when you think about it, cannabis cultivation is just pure plant science. It's plant biology. It's horticulture. And we know a lot about that. We've been doing that since the beginning of civilization. So I'm not going to stand here and try to tell you guys that I know everything or I'm an expert. I might know some things you don't. You guys certainly know things that I don't. But what I like to instill on people during these seminars is more about the approach, more about how we approach our cannabis cultivation these days and how we think about it, critical thinking and pragmatic thinking. So we're going to go, it's going to start off a little bit basic. This whole presentation is centered around light. So it pertains a little bit more to the indoor grower, but it still applies outdoors, obviously. And like I said, it'll be a little bit basic, but at the end we're going to get into some, you know, nitty-gritty, scientific-y, technological topics. And then at the end we'll have a Q&A, and that'll be that. So, like I was saying, we want to approach our plant and our gardens as if it's medicine, because that is what it is these days. So a lot of people like to ask me, like, well, what's most important when I grow, Nico? What do you think? Like H2O, media, atmosphere, CO2, light, nutrients? My answer always to that is light. You obviously have your gardens. Sometimes you go away, you don't feed or water those plants for 3 or 4 days, they're still going to live. You lose power and you don't have light for 4 or 5 days, your garden is in big trouble. So I kind of put an emphasis on that, and I started to think about light, and I've met some really cool people out here who have taught me a lot. I think some of them are in the audience. So I hope they enjoy this, and I hope I get it all right. Okay, so this is just the basics. What is light? We all know what it is. But what we want is to get as close to the sun's natural light as we can indoors. And after 30 years of indoor horticulture, we still haven't achieved this. We're actually nowhere even close. You all know we have different types of spectrums with different types of bulbs. You have metal halides, that's a bluer, whiter light, and we have our high-pressure sodiums that we flower in, and that's a orange, redder type of light. The sun's light is plasma light. And that's a type of light that we are just now on the forefront of developing. You've heard of plasma lights. And that's the type of light that's emitted. And even though it's not essential, obviously, we grow plants under our HID bulbs, that's where we're trying to get to. We're trying to mimic the sun because, after all, it's the light that's creating the reaction in photosynthesis that creates food for the plant. Plant does not eat that water or eat that nutrient alone. It processes it into a sugar, and that's through photosynthesis, and it's because of light. Incidentally, this is how this all came about, and I don't know if my friend is here, but when I came out here a few years ago, he said, you know, Nico, we all go in our grow rooms, and we're looking at our plants, and we're like, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with that? How can I change this? Maybe I should use this medium. Maybe I should use this nutrient. And we never look up. The lighting has been the same from the beginning, as I just said. But now there's new things on the market, and that's what we're going to get into at the end here. We got digital ballasts, digital bulbs. We have LED lights. So really, where is this all taking us? I'm going to go quick through this slide. This is just the this just highlights what I was saying. This is a basic equation for photosynthesis. And you see that the byproduct is, one, glucose, the sugars, and two, I'm sorry, not a byproduct, but light in the equation is equal to photons. And that's the key point here. That is what the plant extracts from light during photosynthesis, is the photon. And that's what's used to create the process by which they get glucose, their sugar, for food. And that's going to be very important as we get a little bit deeper into spectrum and light quality. But first, here's a few more basics. You guys all know this kind of stuff. Light intensity. So we're trying to match the sun. The sun, it's, you know, we know it's super powerful. To get as much energy as we need from the lights is virtually impossible. We're never going to match that, really, like we do outdoors under the power of the sun. But you all remember from grade school the inverse square law, which basically says that the further you increase your distance from a source of light to a surface, that the light intensity decreases exponentially. Okay, so what does that mean? That means we want to keep our lights closer to the plants, and we want to try to make sure there's good penetration throughout the canopy. And if there's not, you want to take up maybe a third off of that bottom of the plant, because that's not going to produce anything. You're going to get little popcorn nugs that consume a lot of energy and don't redirect that energy to your bigger top colas. So keep your lights close to the plant. And here's a couple of ways people do this. Let's start with the far left. Most of you are probably more familiar. That's a more standard setup, just hooded lamps. But this grower, he has them on light movers. Now, that's great because, like we're talking about, they're closer to plants, and he's getting optimal penetration. What's really interesting here, I like to point out, too, is you'll notice that he's using not just HPS, but also metal halide lamps. You'll see the bluish purple or hue on this side and the yellow or orange or hue on this side. And they're moving, so it's not like just those segments are getting that kind of light. He's rotating them over the garden, and he's broadening the spectrum of light that his plants get. And we're going to get to why that's important in a minute. Here on the left is something maybe you guys have seen a little bit about. We've been putting it in High Times. It's a very ingenious solution to some of this that we're talking about. These spinner arms actually move at the rate of a ceiling fan. I think something like 30 to 40 RPM. Which is pretty quick. Not only does that keep the light bulb cool, so you don't have to worry about, you know, using lenses and air cooling your bulbs and all that kind of stuff, it keeps heat pockets from forming, but also you could get this to like within maybe 4 to 6 inches above your plant canopy, and you can interchange the type of bulbs you have. He's doing it as well, and you get a broader spectrum. Now, this company here sparked a lot of this intellectual dialogue within my own head. This is what made me really start questioning what exactly it is that we're doing these days in terms of lighting. This was originally manufactured by LifeLight Technologies and SunPulse. The bulbs are SunPulse now, and the spinner system is just made by LifeLight. But the interesting thing was that these SunPulse bulbs were not like our traditional HID bulbs, meaning they didn't just come as a HPS or a metal halide. Instead, they came as a Kelvin-rated bulb, a temperature rating. And I believe there were, it was a 3K, 4.5K, 6K, a 10K, and even a UV bulb, which is awesome for the end of flowering. And so you could really interchange these bulbs during different parts of your garden's development and get the spectrum that's, you know, most needed for those stages of development. Now, you might say, like, well, how fast could it actually spin to deliver all those different qualities of light? Like, doesn't that mess the plant up? I was kind of confused. Like, if it gets outside from the sun, it's just all coming down all at once. Well, that thing spins so fast, I believe that there was an algorithm, they said, created that spun it so that it delivered that light at the exact beat frequency that the sun delivers light on Earth. I'm not a mathematician like that, so I'm going to just take their word on that. But that's one of the new technologies that are out there. These are the ideas that people are trying to get out there and trying to create, but sometimes we get so bogged down in just what we've been doing and what we know that we don't always approach cannabis or medicine from possibly the best angles. So this just explains a little bit about spectrum and what we're going to get into next. Spectrum, also referred to as frequency or wavelengths, are measured in nanometers. You guys see that a lot. You see NM, and that's where it's referring to, spectrum. The leaf pigments absorb the photons that we were talking about that come out of light. Now, you see, this is another thing that I should have had a slide on, but I'll just talk about it. People are caught up on this idea of intensity and light with lumens. Lumens, honestly, doesn't really have a place in horticulture. Lumens is a measurement of light for the human eye. So when we talk about lumens, if you're lighting a stage or a concert or a show, yeah, it's applicable. But when you're talking about horticulture, it doesn't. It's not the right barometer for us to be measuring our light. Then we have PAR. You probably heard of PAR, photosynthetically active radiation. That's closer to what we're looking for because it's talking about the usable light that the plant uses. But the real essence is photons, okay? The photons is what it's all about. And if you really want to know how strong your lights are or if they're dying or if you need to change your bulbs, what you need to get is a photon meter. Not one of these things that you put under here and it tells you lumens and output. You can buy one of these. I don't think they're that expensive. You could probably find one for $150, $250 in there. And it literally clamps onto the leaf of the plant, and it tells you how many photons are striking that surface and what your rate of photosynthesis is. Okay? And that, we have that tool. Why aren't we using it? That is what this is all about. It's about getting these photons and a proper quality of light to your plant, mimicking the sun and making it as natural indoors as we can in the event that we can't grow outdoors. Okay. We're going to come back to this slide in a minute because we're just rolling into spectrum here. Now, this is an old slide, and I'm not going to say anything bad. I'm going to try not to say anything bad about LEDs. Okay, because now LED systems are full spectrum, or they're not full spectrum. We don't have full spectrum, but they are fuller spectrum. They're not two-tone much anymore. But in the beginning, people would ask, like, guys, what's up with these LEDs? In the beginning, they were just red and blue, which told me right away that was wrong, okay? There was something just that doesn't make sense. Like, do you just eat, like, chicken and peas? Like, you're going to feed your plants just red and blue? I didn't get it. But the scientists, or I shouldn't say scientists, the manufacturers who come up with these LED systems would say, well, the plant really only needs red and blue spectrum. Red is the frequency that actually carries the most photons. Okay, awesome. Blue, obviously, keeps the internodes short, keeps your plant squatter, and those two frequencies are most efficiently processed by the plant, so we'll just give them red and blue. So, if it was true, it made sense. And I looked it up, and sure enough, it was half true. The red and the blue are absorbed more efficiently. And this will show you. But there's a little thing that we're overlooking. So right here, we're looking at the white curve is the absorption rate of your plant's leaves from the various spectral wavelengths. Your 400 nanometers are the blues, and at your far end, and your 700 are your reds. So you see in this area, in the blues, boom, 100%. Over in the reds, huge spike, boom, 100%. Shit, okay. Looks like the plants are processing that much more efficiently. Look how low it is down here. I mean, we know some of that's reflection, you know, and it doesn't absorb the green, right? But still. But then, when you take the actual solar spectrum, and that's what this is in nature, this is the amount of these frequencies that are actually found in nature from the sun. So what this actually is telling us is that when the sun shines down, the least amount of colors in that sunlight are the blues and the reds. So after talking to people, they were like, yeah, well, it does absorb them and process them more efficiently, but that is only because they have to, because it is least present in nature. It doesn't mean that they need those two colors more than the others, or only those two colors. It just means plants have evolved over millions of years, and they're more efficient at it because there's less of it. So I said, okay, yeah, that makes sense. But then I started wondering, well, what the hell happens if you don't give it full spectrum? What happens if, you know, because people grow under LEDs. I mean, it works. It's not bad, you know. And the yields were low at first, I heard. But people would say to get, oh, it's really resiny and it's really sticky and just a little bit more, you know, higher quality. And I would wonder if it was because the plant was a little stressed out. It's getting only, like, pink light at this point. And we all know when you freak your plants out a little bit, they think they're dying. And they do. They produce more resin. But you're losing yield. Your plants aren't truly healthy or happy. And we're moving further away now from nature. Like, 15, 20 years ago, I remember there was a little plasma, tiny bulb on the cover of High Times. 20 years ago. Where is that bulb? It never materialized because we're stuck in our ways. So the LEDs come out and you think, well, how did the LEDs break out? Well, they're cheaper. You know, they're little diodes. And they have other benefits. I know they run cool. They don't use a lot of power. But we're not really getting back to the sun. We're not really getting back to nature. Okay, so that's it. I'm not going to go much deeper on LEDs because there's probably like 20 vendors out there that will kick my ass after the show anyway. So you all get the point, okay? We're looking for quality light. If we have to move them indoors, let's do it right. Let's keep moving forward and progressing the technology and using the science that we know. And let's get better product, better gear out there, and grow better medicine. So, a tangent to that. New technology, lighting, what's going on. You all know that, I don't know, a while ago now, maybe 5 years ago, the electronic digital ballots hit the market. Boom, awesome, everybody's on board. They're more efficient. They use less power, you lose less power. But all of a sudden, there was this huge spike in sales of bulbs. Philips, Sunmaster, all these companies selling twice as many bulbs. People were saying, yeah, I don't get it, I don't know, my bulb's just burning out a lot faster. Like, I did two cycles and they're like, fizzled out. Well, it turns out this is another case of industry in one place, technology in another, and trying to get both to work together and move along. Our HID bulbs, our HPS, our metal halide bulbs, they work on traditional core and coil ballasts, magnetic ballasts. Those ballasts run at 40, 50, 60 hertz, something like that, right? New electronic digital ballasts, 20,000 hertz. So you have a bulb running on 60 hertz, and then you run it on 20,000 hertz. Something's going to happen. What happens is it causes what they call acoustic resonance. That's in the arc tube, in the filament of your bulb. And instead of just, you know, making its little stream of light, it's going, you know, sporadic, and it shortens the lifespan of your bulb anywhere from 25 to, you know, 50%. So the next question is, well, what the fuck do we put in the electronic digital ballast? You put a digital bulb in digital ballast. Who makes digital bulbs? Anybody know who makes a digital bulb? Who? No. Someone said Digilux. Philips makes one. SunPulse makes one. Those are the only two that have them. Okay? And the thing is SunPulse is the only one that is available to us that's in the United States and that runs on our frequency. For a long time, I'd come up here and I would give this presentation and I would talk about SunPulse, and they're the only ones that have the digital bulbs, and everybody thinks that I work for SunPulse, and it kind of sounded bad, and I was just telling the truth. So I searched high and low, hoping to find another digital bulb so that I wouldn't just look like I didn't work for High Times anymore, and I found out that, yes, Philips, whoever said that was correct, has a digital bulb. Not only does Philips have a digital bulb, they've had a digital bulb for 7 fucking years. Like, what, all right? But it's for big agriculture, commercial-sized grilling. Only runs on 400 volt. You know, it's just for gigantic, big greenhouses. I saw them in the north of Holland not too long ago. And they don't, Philips, you know, to a certain extent, those companies don't want to have a lot to do with our industry. So they weren't in any rush to give us, you know, these bulbs. However, a company did step in, I think they're called Gavita, and made a version that they said, well, we could run it now in North America. It runs on 220. And I said, well, we don't run on 220 in the United States, in Canada maybe. You guys could probably benefit from this out here, though, because you're medical, you have bigger grows, you do warehouse size setups and stuff, and you guys can easily get 220. So it is doable. You can get those bulbs. However, they only run on their ballast, whereas SunPulse will plug into pretty much any digital ballast, and they actually do certifications on the digital ballast. So that's something I just wanted to share with you guys. I actually backed it up, just in case you're wondering, like, if I know what I'm talking about. I decided to call Hortolux in Ohio, and I told them I was writing a college thesis, and I actually got on the phone with an engineer in their lab who was working on this, and I talked to her, and she's like, yeah, you know, none of our bulbs work on these ballasts. She's like, so we're recommending that, you know, people just keep using the magnetic traditional core and coil ballast. It just drives me crazy. Like, we're moving ahead, but no, let's take two steps backwards again. I just think we should keep progressing this. There's not much that we can do, you know, in a lab or something. We're just growers. We're just, you know, doing what we do. But we can do something when we get into the hydro shops. You know, we can ask for these things. We can talk to them about it. We can share this information with each other, and that's all I'm trying to do for you guys right now. You're the end user, so I hate to think people, you know, like I was 10 years ago, spending $200 on a bulb, like 10 bulbs every, you know, 3 months and shit. I mean, it's expensive. It's not good for the environment, and we can do better things for our gardens. So take it as you will. There's just a couple of tidbits there on light. And that's really it. If you guys have any questions, this is my email. I'm always accessible there. Hit me up anytime. Talk grow. And if you want to do a little Q&A real quick, I think we have like 5 or 10 minutes so we could do it. Any questions? How much are the spinner lights? I don't know. No. I think in the beginning they were a little pricey, like anything when they come out, but I'm pretty sure the prices come down now. But I honestly don't know what they retail for. You also have to think about like what your cost benefit analysis and what you're saving. Like also on the spinners, I like that because you're using digital bulbs. There's electronic ballast in those arms, so you're using, you know, you're not buying bulbs at the same rate any longer. What's that? I mean, they give you ratings on the box. They usually put it in terms of hours. You know what I mean? Some growers will just keep using them, you know, and some growers will change them every 2 cycles, every 3 cycles, something like that. You know, I use the photon meter, you know, and I see, yeah. The question is, has anybody ever actually brought sunlight indoors, like with mirrors or some funnel system or something? I've never seen that, no. That's an interesting idea. You know, it's along the lines of sunlight, maybe in warehouses, or along the lines of greenhouse growing, you know, where you can supplement, you know, during the day, or during the night rather, with your HIDs. And I don't know that you'd be able to get enough light, though, to cover a garden. If it was a closet grow or something, I bet you could rig something like that. The quality of light should remain the same. I don't think it would diminish bouncing off mirrors. Crystals were refracting. I don't know.
Sorry to interrupt. People are going to give a seminar, but voting for best product, best booth, and best last piece will be ending in 20 minutes. So please, if you haven't voted, get over to the High Time Food to do so. Sorry to interrupt.
No worries.
Plasma lights need to get to be competitive with conventional lights in the afternoon.
question is, what price level do the plasma lights need to get to be competitive? I mean, in terms of the price level, I would think it just needs to get... Look at the HID market right now. People will pay, I'd say, probably 20% more for a new product that they know is better. But sometimes you see something that comes out marked up already 50, 100% more. And I think, you know, sometimes that's what inhibits this technology from getting out. People are very worried all the time about, you know, they have this new technology. It's not cheap enough, but they can't get it out to the people cheap enough, but they do it anyway because they don't want their idea to get stolen. And then it flops, you know. And then if someone else doesn't pick up the ball and keep using that technology, you know, people just write it off like, oh, that failed. Well, maybe there's a whole other business side to these things that you have to, you know about to be successful with the technology as well. The plasma light that I saw in Holland at the Gavita workshop was a 330-watt plasma bulb. It was about an inch and a half. It was amazing. They ignite these things with radio waves, like microwaves, and they heat the element. It's plasma light, so it's closer to the sun. I think, though, they're still having problems getting it full spectrum. It's better. It would probably be like, you know, supplementing with fluoros with your HID setup or whatever. But I'm not sure on the price. And the other problem is, again, it only works in a certain ballast. You know what I mean? So, and that will be the case with that, you know, for who knows how long. No. I'm not saying use Philips. I'm saying Philips had a digital bulb, okay? I'm saying try to use digital bulbs with your electronic digital ballast. But the Philips one you can only use with their ballast. It's actually a double-ended bulb. It has two filaments at either end, and it does not screw in. It clamps in. So there's no way you can really even interchange them.
Is there another vendor that has the universal?
Yeah, you should check out the SunPulse. Yeah.
Someone who's kind of walked the road to someone who's just kind of new to the whole growing industry, what would kind of be your advice, and more or less, where do you see the growing industry going in the next 15 years?
That's a big question. He's asking what I think the trends are in growing and where it's headed. Is that pretty much it? Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I mean, it's like any industry, I don't mean to talk shit because it's just the way the world is and business is. But it is an industry, and that's where things get bogged down. Hydro shop owners carry certain things, certain name brands. They're there. They're always going to be there. And sometimes those guys in those shops don't necessarily even know what they're doing. It's kind of like being a doctor. I feel when you're a gardener, you know. Like, you don't just come out of med school and you're like, dude, I'm a doctor for the rest of my life. Woohoo, never have to study again. Like, after 4 years, everything those guys learn is passe. They're reading medical journals, going to seminars. So I think that is the future of this industry. I think what we're doing right here, I think this whole thing, I think, yeah, it's fun, it's cool. We go out there, we have a medicating area, we're fucking smoking out on U.S. soil. It's fucking awesome, you know. And we all just get into that, you know. And we look at that and we're like, woo, you know. But that really isn't what it's about, at least not for me. For me, it's about growing, and it is about the plant, at least until we get it legalized and we get all the funding that comes with that legalization to really learn about this plant. There's so much we haven't learned. So share the knowledge. I think that's where this is where the industry is going. What we're doing here, you guys do it all the time out here. You guys have these conventions with seminars and panels and stuff. In New York, it's, you know, it's like another country, but I think this is what we got to focus on and keep this going.